Dear listeners, Saitam, we now bring you part one of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Today's episode was first aired on 14th May 2015 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today is May 14th, 2015, and this summer month is on in this divine hamlet. And I remember in the earlier times, these months of April and May would be sort of deserted months, because Bhagwan would be in his ashram in Vrindavan, in Whitefield, Bangalore, or in Kodaikanal. So devotees would throng to these ashrams for his darshans, and Prashantanilam would have bare minimum people, only those who work in the various institutions, those who have to be here to keep things going in the ashram. Even there, it would be just skeletal staff, because anyone who is not really needed here would be with Bhagwan, either in Vrindavan, in Kodaikanal, or would have gone to their respective homes. But interestingly, post-2011, Bhagwan has totally changed this. These summer months have now become very special months. Months when a lot of people gather because of two significant occasions, two profound occasions which are observed now in these months of April and May. In May, you have the day dedicated to the adoration of Swami's mother, Mother Ishwaramma. And in April, you have the Aradhana Day, the day when hundreds and thousands throng to Prashantanilam to place their heart full of prayer and gratitude to the Lord. And this day means a lot to so many in so many different ways. I remember talking to a devotee from Bangalore about a year ago. He is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. In fact, right from the time he was 7-8 years old, he has seen Swami and he grew up watching Swami. He did nothing without taking his blessings, and if he had a spare time, he would spend it with Swami. And in the summer months, when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, he would just take off from his business for the entire duration, and he would just serve as a sevadal in his ashram. When Swami was in Vrindavan, he didn't want to miss a moment. Everything else came later. That is how much he loved Swami and was attached to Swami. So when he heard of Bhagwan moving on from his physical form in April, he just could not contain himself, and like hundreds and thousands of devotees from everywhere, he too rushed to Puttaparthi, and he was there sitting in the Sai Kulwant Hall on that most depressing and sorrowful evening of April 24th. He sat there and he was crying. Literally, he was weeping. He could not imagine his life without Swami. And next to him was his son, Sai Pranav, about 12 years old. Pranav too was deeply attached to Swami. He too never missed the darshan. And he has been seeing Swami from the time he was born. So devotion to Swami, love for Swami, was something almost he was born with. In fact, on one occasion when Pranav was 6 or 7 years old, he was sitting for darshan with his mother in the Sai Ramesh Hall in Vrindavan. And after the darshan, he saw that his mother was in tears. He could not see this. He could not see his mother in pain. But he guessed what was bothering his mother. Swami had come, granted darshan, and gone, but did not speak to her or look at her. And he knew this is what was troubling his mom. And the little one, somehow he knew it intuitively. And he was not able to see her mom in that state of sorrow. So Pranav said, "Amma, just look at that road. The road in Vrindavan is right next to the ashram." He said, "There are so many cars and buses and jeeps going on in the road. Isn't it, Amma?" And then he said, "See, there are so many people busy doing so many things. They are so lost in this world. And out of the millions in the world, there are lakhs in Bangalore. And out of the lakhs in Bangalore, only a few are aware of Swami. And out of that few, only a small number is in this hall having his darshan and being so fortunate for receiving this blessing. Don't you think, Amma, Swami is so gracious to us? Why do you cry?" This is what the six-year-old Pranav told his mother. I would not have been surprised if it was the other way around. Anyway, coming back to April 24th. So Pranav's father was that day inconsolably crying. And he noticed that Pranav was not in tears. There was not a single tear in his eye. And he was wondering, what is going on in this boy's mind? Because now as a 12-year-old, Pranav was just only staring at Bhagwan Samadhi. And his father wondered, what is the boy thinking? So he asked, "Why are you staring like that? What are you seeing?" And Sai Pranav said, "Father, I am only offering gratitude to that body which gave shelter to Bhagwan for 86 years. I am only offering my grateful salutations to that instrument that housed my Swami for 86 years. They say the child is the father of man. It was such a moment for that father. And when I heard this, it was, needless to say, a very revealing moment. We can never ever imagine, fathom, or even attempt to even get a glimpse of how magically Swami has touched every soul and how much each one feels grateful for that. And this continues. And the Aradhana day, April 24th, is the day when everyone gathers to offer their heart and soul to the Lord in gratitude for all that He has done for them and for all that He means to them. And that is why it has become such a profound occasion. And this year, the year of His 90th birthday, the Aradhana Day acquired a new dimension. It was absolutely unique. Something beautiful happened that morning. A melodious garland of five specially composed tunes in pure Carnatic music tradition was offered to Bhagwan, which glorified everything that he did, which glorified every aspect of his life, his mission, his message. And it was done by distinguished artists, which included experts as well as amateurs who on that day, by his grace, performed like experts. It's a beautiful story. A story that has to be told. A story that has to be documented and shared. And that is what we will be doing tonight in this episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. First, I will play for you a conversation I had with Brother Balram Chandan, who had the opportunity to give the introductory talk on the Aradhana Day before the singing commenced. And he also was part of the group who rendered these kritis. I had the opportunity to speak to him that night, April 24th night. I wanted to capture how it felt being a part of this novel endeavor. So this conversation is for about 20 minutes. And after this, we will have a live conversation with Brother Sai Prakash, my colleague in the studio, who is the one who assiduously worked behind the scenes along with many others for months together to make that morning happen. There are so many little, very, very beautiful stories. Stories which will continue to inspire us whenever we embark on his work. So we will capture all that. We will bask in the joy of the Sai Pancharatnas. So that is what is in store for you in this last segment of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And as I just mentioned, today we discuss the bejeweled moments of Sai Pancharatna offering. And as I just said, we begin with the conversation with Brother Balram Chandran. Before that, here is a glimpse of how that morning went about.
Yeah.
Saram, Brother Balramchandran.
Saram, Brother.
Today is Aradhana Day 2015. And you were very fortunate to be part of the program in the morning. Yeah. It was a novel offering of Sai Pancharatna Kritis. You had the chance to offer the introductory talk as well as also participate in rendering these Kritis. And I know it's been quite some effort to learn these songs and finally be offering them at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And this is one of those initiatives which is happening for the first time on the fourth Aradhana day and in the year of Bhagwan's 90th birthday. So tell me, brother, how was it being a part of this program? How was it learning these Kritis? And how was it after he had finished making this offering to Bhagwan?
Most amazing experience, brother. In fact, to follow the same pattern, one is about, you know, preparing for the entire event, being a part of it and how we felt after the entire offering was made. If I have to quickly recap, the first time we were shown, or rather when these Kritis were played out to us, we were completely dumbfounded because we knew that this is not easy. Because the amazing part, in fact now of course in hindsight, very few people would actually be able to believe this. Because if you see amongst the group which offered the Kritis to Swami today, barring a few of them who are artists, a lot of them are actually members of our own bhajan group. A lot of these people are not even trained on Carnatic music.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Not even trained on Carnatic music.
They are just part of the Sundaram Bhajan group.
Yes, Sundaram Bhajan group. In fact, Sundaram Bhajan group, and also if you see from the Kanchipuram district in Chennai, where they've got in a place called Krumpet, they've got a wonderful Sai center. They've got a samiti where they've got very good singers, including some of our own alumni who are there. So there were sisters who came from there. There were brothers from the Sundaram Bhajan group.
The school in Oteri.
Correct. So those girls, of course, were trained. Of course, they did a fabulous job. I think they've been practicing maybe for the last 1 year or so. And in fact, those girls were singing it by heart. It's very difficult to by heart the entire Pancharatna Kriti, because if you see typically the construction of a Kriti is you've got something called the Pallavi, the Anupallavi and the Charanam. Now, a normal song would just have one Pallavi, one Anupallavi, one Charanam. Now, here, you'll have a Pallavi, you'll have an Anupallavi, and you have about six or seven Charanams.
Correct.
And multiply that by five songs. And you have to remember, not in the Charanam, you don't remember the concluding stanzas, you don't remember just the lyrics, but you have to know the swaras also.
Yeah.
They came in without a paper.
Wow.
And they did, I think those children did a fantastic job. Now, besides them, I'm saying even the people who are part of the Sundaram Bhajan group, and again from the Krumpet Samiti, a lot of these people are not even trained on music. Or there are people like me who have very basic training on music, where we have learned basically a Sarigama Padanisa or basic lessons. Now, for most of us, even the swaras are a lyric, because typically what the professionals would do is they would have the notation in their hand. They would look at it and sing.
Yes.
But for us, the notation was really not helping. It was actually making things more complicated, because for us, we had two lyrics to learn.
Yes.
So the swara also was a lyric for us, because we basically understood only sounds. Now, of course, Swami has trained us so beautifully in terms of being able to follow anything which is sung. So first, we were all very scared. Now, one important lesson I learned at that point of time is the composer, Rajkumar Bharti, sir. When we said, sir, if you're not very sure, there'll be very few people who can cope up with this and it's tough. He made a statement which is just amazing. And for somebody whom, you know, has, within inverted commas, come to Swami very recently, or after Prema Pravaham, he said that in a first interaction, he said that's when he first came to Swami and got associated.
Oh my God, I did not know this.
That was his first opportunity. In fact, somebody was actually mentioning that the Prema Pravaham actually was the Prema Pravaham of Swami to him. So because things really changed for him. So that's of course a separate story. I think someday you must also speak to him. It's a fascinating experience. It's best to hear it from him. In fact, Rajkumar Bharti sir was telling us, in fact, he summed it up in one single sentence. He said, see, you don't have to worry about anything. He said, leave it completely to Swami, he'll take care. And that is amazing. In fact, we thought we were supposed to be saying that.
Yes.
But then he was the person who said that. He was not going into the technicalities.
He was not worried that the singers lot that he's having, they are not classically trained singers.
Not at all. In fact, he was saying, absolutely no problem. He's saying, you don't have to do anything. He said, Swami will take care of everything. These are the exact words he told us in our first practice. In fact, he spoke to all the people. He said, don't worry. The compositions sound very... Because if one beautiful thing about his compositions is that they sound... very, very nice to hear.
Yeah.
But the moment you try and learn them, you'll find they are very, very complicated. In fact, the professional singers who were part of that group also said, in fact, at some point, our brother Sai Shravanam made this point in the first meeting we had in Sundaram, where he said that sir's compositions are very beautiful, but they always are very complicated. The moment he said that, there was a vigorous shaking of heads by all the professional singers. But then Rajkumar sir said, he said, you don't have to worry anything because Swami's program and you don't have to worry, it will definitely happen. Now, true to those words, people started picking up. That's when, you know, the training Swami has given at the bhajans, because all these brothers, sisters who gathered to practice, and they would gather after a long day's work in the evening, typically after 7 in Sundaram. They're very dedicated artists who came and taught us. Some of them taught us, in fact, the main lead, say called Vidya, she was actually teaching us. She had a concert in the afternoon, but she would still, you know, sing the whole day in the morning. That's something artists wouldn't prefer to do because they would prefer a voice rest.
Yes.
But she did that. So, they lot of dedicated work. And what was happening is, you know, typically like in sports meet, in 1 week we accomplish what others can accomplish in a lot of time. I saw a very similar phenomena repeating there. People picked it up very, very easily. So, in fact, it just occurred to me as we were coming to Parthi for this trip that the most beautiful thing or one of the important benefits of doing Swami's work is that it, in fact, doing is again within inverted commas because you're not doing it. But, you know, the most fascinating thing about doing within inverted commas Swami's work is that it gives you this fascinating opportunity to see his magic play out.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we saw. It was clockwork, right from the smallest detail to the number of people who should sit in the bus, etc. We had initially thought 15 people would come. Finally, we ended up with a party of 53 who actually came from 53? Chennai. 53 people came from Chennai.
Wow.
Because the relatives also joined in. There were about close to 30 artists who came in. And which includes, of course, our bhajan group members. We initially thought we will not have enough space for a bus. Then we had to book an extra van. And we said that's a cushion. And finally, we found we had exactly that number of people, including Swami had provided for those two sevadals who were accompanying in each bus. So we had out of 54, 53. So Swami had taken care of. So he had planned everything. We saw that magic working brilliantly in every single detail. So, of course, then the confidence had come in because then we saw the practice which happened and the preview also which you guys put up.
Yes.
Which you must have, some of the action was captured there.
Yes.
By then it was getting set and we could clearly see Swami's magic working.
So by then how many days of practice?
That must have been about a week or 10 days, brother, not much. But there was a lot of hard struggle which was done. There were people who were continuously on loop with all the five kritis. They were trying to learn it. So, but yes, then the confidence slowly started coming, saying, yeah, this will work because Swami's magic is going to work. On the way to Parthi, the one bus right from start, we started at about 5:30 from Sundaram in the morning, early in the morning, till we almost reached Parthi. They would have done about 6 or 7 rounds of the entire thing. They were continuously
in the bus.
Yeah.
You were continuously singing in the bus.
Continuously singing. There was no choice. It was like a last minute viva preparation, no exam preparation.
Oh my God.
Because somehow we felt it's a once in a lifetime. Because my feeling, brother, is that next year, you will have a queue for this.
Yes.
You will have a queue. The whole world is going to flood in.
Yes.
So somehow we felt that we were lucky and, you know, yes, we were somehow chosen and then we didn't want to let go of this opportunity. So everybody, so there were boys who were teaching each other. So that happened very, very beautifully. So the sisters were teaching their brothers were teaching the sisters. So each one knew some part of it and they were, initially they said, each one of you learn, if you're not sure about all five, learn just two and, you know, just focus on that. But eventually towards the end, today when we presented it before Swami, we found sitting there, I mean, in fact, last evening when we got an opportunity to do a sound check, most of the artists, when they came and we did a sound check, it was a very different feel. In fact, even the artists were saying, no, it was very different because all those words came alive. For example, when you sang Ishwaramba Tanaya, there was a sense of awareness that the person who he was referring to was right behind that curtain. Yes. So singing it in the live presence, those words were acquiring a special power which we hadn't experienced when we were doing our practice sessions. And we just stepped out and it rains. You know that Pushpa Vrishti or that happiness. It rains for exactly, you know, 2-3-5 minutes. Exactly when we stepped out of this and rain fell on our head. It's right outside Sai Kulwanthal.
Wow.
So somehow you knew Swami's magic was working. Today was an unbelievable experience, brother. And in fact, everybody said this. Everybody said that a lot of these people are coming to Parthi for the first time.
These artists.
Artists. So they were, a lot of them were saying, and in fact, this is not even things which they are telling us. These are things which they are speaking to each other and we over here.
Hmm.
In fact, there was somebody remarking, say that when bhajans go on here in the mandir, the vibration which comes, they're saying that positivity they've not seen anywhere else. Now, these are, you know, qualified musicians who are actually saying this. There's a very live, electric kind of a presence. These are some of the words which they used. So it was, and of course, it was very difficult to contain, control ourselves. A lot of us broke down because somehow, and when it ended, it was like, you know, like a big, you know, after a big rainfall, how would it that be? It was totally moving experience. Somehow we felt that maybe this is one of our most important purposes of our life. So even now it looks like magic. Not able to believe that Swami gave us this opportunity to present this at his lotus feet. Because we are sure that this is going to be part of history, his story.
Absolutely. Wow. Before I came now, I was speaking to Mr. Srinivas Chettiar, who has been instrumental in executing so many of beautiful projects, Bhagwan. And he was telling me how at some point with Bhagwan's directions, they had initiated this Likhita Japa Yajnam. The Paduka Trust used to do this, encourage people to write Om Shri Sai Ram, and they would supply the books, and the books would come to Prashant Nilayam. And I remember sometime in 97 or 98, there was this huge collection of books which came, and I don't know, 1 crore or how many crore times it was, the Sai Rama Nama was written, and Swami actually placed all of them below the Sai Kulwant Hall, where the Rama statue is. Absolutely. Rama statue actually stands on this repository of Ramanama, Sai Ramanama. And he told me that after all the Likhita Japam verbs was placed there, initially Hanuman was placed there. Swami called him and said, see, we have kept there so many devotees, sadhana of Likhita Japam, and that place is acquiring so much power. Swami said, even Hanuman is not feeling competent enough to withstand the power that that names have generated.
Okay.
And Hanuman will be comfortable if the master also comes. So Swami said, you make statues of the Rama Parivar. And you have them along with Hanuman.
Oh.
Let them be there.
Okay. So that's the story of the Rama, Sita and Lakshmana also being there.
Being there.
Okay. Oh, beautiful.
And Tyagaraja is someone who has given us these immortal classics.
Yes.
To offer our love to Lord Rama. And today, on those same lines, the Pancharatna Kritis were made with inspiration from Tyagaraja Swami.
Absolutely.
Just like we have those immortal Kritis on Lord Rama, there should be these immortal Kritis on Sai Rama.
100%.
And the way the whole event unfolded, as you mentioned, it was just magic.
No, no, pure magic. Unbelievable experience. No words to describe it. And every single person, I think, in the group. And there was no worry because of, you know, who will have the mic, who will not have the mic. Because somehow, you know, it didn't seem to matter at that point of time. It was, the experience is very different. So there was no question of whose voice is being heard, whose voice is not being heard. Because remember, these are professionals, you know, who are used to their voices being heard. And that's, I think, quite natural for somebody who sings well. But there was absolutely no such feeling. You know, I think the entire body of singers became one single organism who was, you know, whose sole aim was to kind of please Swami. And of course, I think they were completely washed away in the grace which flowed. It was unbelievable. It's the best, one of the best experiences in my lifetime of singing before Swami.
As you mentioned, probably in the years to come, we hope and pray, probably this will become the tradition.
Oh, yes.
Every year to offer these Sai Pancharatna.
In fact, Vikraman sir, after that, was saying something that was very heartwarming. Of course, he was quipping. He was saying that, of course, there's nothing in return that needs to be done. I think Swami has given this opportunity itself is a great gift. But he was actually, later when he was speaking to us, he was saying that from our side, from the side of the organization, or from his side, he was saying that what he could actually give is a ticket or a reservation for next time. And that reservation was very important because next time, you know, hundreds of people are going to come and they are really qualified people are going to come. So it's not, again, it's not important whether you have the mic. You could be sitting in the end of Kulwant Hall and singing, but as long as you're part of the group which sings, very, very special experience, extremely special.
And let's hope that through this medium, music is one of the most beautiful mediums.
Yes. And something which just strikes me, brother, if I can just add, One more thing which at least I felt when we went through the entire Pancharatna Kritis, because first, of course, we were busy learning the tune and then, you know, the technicalities of it. When we were coming in the bus, by then we were kind of confident with the tune and the, you know, the lyrics. Then we started going through the meaning. Then because then the brothers and sisters started saying, why don't you? Because I was the one person in the bus, you know, by Chennai standards, you know, a little bit of Telugu.
Okay.
Because I associated with Swami, you heard discourses. So I started reading out and explaining to the extent I understood. My feeling is, brother, that in fact, almost on every single stanza there, you can write a commentary.
Yes.
You can write a commentary. There could be, for example, you pick up one line, there'll be at least 3-4 episodes which I can think of from Swami's life or your own experience which you can.
Really?
So one more thing I feel is someday, there would be a commentary written on this.
Yes.
100%, like a Gita Bhashyam is there.
Yes.
I believe one Swami in Treyu was actually saying, in fact, one of the brothers was actually mentioning, the senior brothers in Chennai was mentioning this, because to do a Gita Paranam takes you about 1.5 hours if you do it non-stop. But if you, in the real life scenario, if it happened like the way it is described in, you know, Mahabharata, Arjuna would have asked his first doubt, then Krishna would have answered. He would have again thought of the answer and then asked. So, which means it should have logically taken about 2, 2.5, 3 hours. Now, the point is, this is happening in a battlefield. So, what are the other guys doing till then? The Kauravas? I mean, they would have kept busy.
Yes.
So, I used to be always under the impression that Swami would have altered time and space so that, you know, the others didn't feel the passage of time.
Mm.
But this senior brother from Chennai, Vijay, his name is, he was old batches, he was actually telling us that in Treyi, telling me in fact, that in Treyi when they asked Swami this doubt, saying, Swami, how did it happen? Did you alter time and space? Swami said, no, that's not how it happened. I believe that Swami, when Arjuna asked a question, Krishna gave a one-line answer.
Yes.
And Arjuna understood it because of his strong intellect, he got the answer for all questions. And I believe that Vyasa saw this live and then because of his intellectual prowess was able to debrief it or expand it into many stanzas of Gita.
Yes.
So the Gita of today itself is a commentary.
Yes.
Of the original.
Absolutely.
So which means the Gita Bhashyam is a commentary of a commentary. The same thing is going to happen, I'm 100% sure, with Sai Pancharatnam. Every single line, someday somebody is going to write a commentary.
Yes.
100%.
In fact, it was the same thought that ran through my mind also, because we had all the lyrics displayed on the screen.
Yes.
With English translation.
So beautifully done, yes.
And there was also this booklet which everyone had in their hands, which gave the lyrics in Telugu as well as transliteration in Hindi so that people can follow.
Correct.
And I saw that everyone was poring over that notebook, trying to understand what is being said and looking at the screens to understand the meaning. And as I was seeing the meaning, you know, this is a thought that was coming, you know, you can take one line and you can dwell on it.
Exactly, because actually along with me in the van, because we're coming in two vans, so I was in the one of the smaller vans, there was an alumni brother who was actually there along with his part of Sundaram Bhajan group, one of the more recent batches. So there's a particular line where it says, Nahakku Miranuchu, that he says that you are my property. You know, that when that thing comes, you know, after that, brother, we read that line when we understood the meaning. For 2 minutes, we couldn't speak, neither he nor we. Because it means something very different now.
Yeah.
And today morning in Swami's discourse, when he says that, again when he says, my boys, my children are my property, I can't, you know, let go of, they will not leave me and I will not leave them. It was very, very difficult to take that. I think one instant response I saw in the backdrop of the Pancharatnam, no, we had just gone through that, the Pancharatnam had washed through us, literally washed through us. You know, and then there was a huge current which we were never used to, that kind of intensity of current, no, flowing through us. And immediately after that, Swami's discourse happens. And there, when Swami says this, instantly, I saw there were three of us alumni brothers who were actually sitting there. Instantly, as though, you know, remote control, all three at that moment burst into tears. And then they couldn't. In fact, all three of us were out for the next, we were offline for the next, I don't know, few minutes. So, unbelievable experience. So, like you rightly said, I think all the more so, if you have been an alumnus, I mean, you would write a commentary on everything.
Because it is not just the music. I think that's how it was Tyagaraja Kirtanas. It was not just the musical prowess. It was not just the amazing composition musically.
Yeah.
But the bhava behind it, the lyrics behind it, was as potent and as powerful as the music or even more.
In fact, I am given to understand that Tyagaraja never wrote down or sat and composed.
Yes.
He would just converse with Rama. And that, in fact, I have heard that, you know, like I said, the Pallavi Anupallavi Charanam. He moment this, let's say Tyagaraja breaks into a song, you would find that one disciple would learn the Pallavi and then run away. The next one would learn the Anupallavi, again run away. Third one would learn the Charanam and run away, and they would go to the banks of Kaveri because that's where, and each one would sit in different ghats of Kaveri and practice that, they would record and practice the Pallavi, Anupallavi, Charanam, and then they would sit together and assemble the song, because Tyagaraja would never bother to write it down.
Yes.
For him it was a conversation with Rama.
Yes.
So basically they would do that. And in fact in Amar Chitra Katha of all of Tyagaraja, they beautifully described this. I think it came in Amar Chitra Katha, it must have been definitely part of the real story. The disciples sit together and say, okay, we have captured the lyrics, we have captured the ragam, the tune, but then how do we capture the bhavam in the master's voice? So it's one thing which they couldn't capture. The rest of it they did.
Hmm.
So that's how every single kriti of Tyagaraja has come. So, in fact, I think he was very unconscious of, I think the songs happened through him.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I think Rama sang through him. Like, you know, Swami must have sung today through Rajkumar Bharati. So, the way it's come, what is Swami's composition? 100%.
Yes.
It is so grand. Mm. So grand that, I mean, it is definitely he. You can make out, you know, the quality there. So, I think that's what happened. That's why if you see a lot of Kritis, the way it's come out are unbelievable. I'm sure Tyagaraja wouldn't have, you know, thought of it and written on, but it's very, very beautiful.
I think that is the reason why it is so beautiful.
Exactly.
Because he had no count. They say there are 27,000 Kritis. I don't know how many of are there now in this times.
No. I think once I heard Swami say this in Trey, saying that most of those Kritis are lost. In fact, I believe that the Kritis which are available to us today, most of them are Kritis which were sung when he lost his Rama. You know, his brother Jalpesa throws the
idol
in, and including what was played in the mandir today in the beautiful violin recital in the Nagumo is actually, I believe all these are things which were composed in that pain of not seeing his Rama. So those are the Kritis, I believe, which are largely available today. Most of the others are lost, is what they say. That's why you sometimes hear Swami singing a rare Kriti which nobody knows, because he still has heard it and, you know, he's inspired it.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, that really reminds how Swami himself used to sing in the days of Venkatagiri.
Yes.
Go to Venkatagiri, Raja's palace, and speak to the inmates who were there.
Yeah.
The Raja and the other relatives.
Yes.
They used to narrate how Bhagwan used to sit on that prayer hall that they had.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity to go once and see.
Oh, oh, oh.
And how Swami used to just go on singing these Kritis on his own.
Absolutely.
Well, Swami definitely has given us so much joy by making us a part of this event. We hope and pray he was delighted in the offering that was made.
Yes.
Well, he orchestrated it. It's always like that, you know. He only orchestrates it and he only tells you what to offer and he only offers it and he only
absolutely
enjoys it for us.
And gives you the credit in the end.
Gives you the credit. Wonderful. Thank you very much, brother. Let's hope and pray that this tradition continues and more people participate in this, and this becomes another very, very beautiful medium to connect to Bhagwan and offer our love.
Most definitely. Yes.
Thank you. So that is the third Kriti, Charana Sevanam, that was sung on that beautiful morning. And it means serving the lotus feet is the most auspicious. Sai's name and form are most nectarous and sweet. And similarly goes on, this song is in the Ragam Arabi, and which is a very energetic tune and lending itself to much creative expression. So like this, you had five such Kritis. This is the third one, as I mentioned, Charana Sevanam.
What I played you first was the Pranamami Saisha, that is the first Kriti.
You just heard part one of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. This episode was first aired on 14th May 2015 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. We hope you enjoyed it. Your feedback is very important to us. Please email your thoughts to listener@radiosai.org. You can catch the next part of this right here, same time, same place next week. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.